Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any rights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flat rock. Big Mac hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Baba's going out of sight. Even if it tastes so nice. I'm gonna catch me when, cause I kinda like a bit, and I
good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I am in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me, Debbie.
Absolutely. And this is usually that time when you're on the other end of the phone line and giving us the tournament and event rundown, so I'm going to turn the mic over to you and have you give us the latest and greatest as far as what's going on with tournaments and events throughout Florida.
Sounds great. It's great to be here and do it in person. So we got a few things going on. Tournaments are going to start to wind down a little bit here next month and into, or this month and into next month a little bit. So things will start to slow down just a little bit before the winter season and spring starts to fire up. But we've got some things going on. I think Jim was talking about a tournament going on down in Marco today. It's the One Last Cast Marco Island tournament. I believe that's the one that he was referring to down there when he was talking to us earlier. Next Saturday, the 23rd, we've got Hook a Snook and Catch and Release Fishing Tournament, and that's out of Inglewood, just a little bit north of Fort Myers here where we're located. And we also have down in the Everglades City area, we've got the 4th Annual Hook 'em in the Glades tournament, and that's a great event that's going on this next Saturday. And also next Saturday on the 23rd here locally in Fort Myers, we've got the 9th Annual Coast Guard Enlisted Association Inshore Slam, and that'll be happening. I believe the VFW is going to host that tournament, captains meeting-wise, and then the awards banquet and everything, or the weigh-in will be at down at the beach. I'm not sure exactly where that's happening at down there, but near the Coast Guard station. So always a great tournament. That's a real fun tournament. If you've not fished tournaments before, that might be one that you might want to think about getting involved in. Very laid-back, easy-going type tournament that's always a lot of fun. I know Rob has fished that tournament several times, and I fished it several times myself. So look forward to getting involved with that. Next November, on Saturday the 6th, we've got the Cast for Kids in Punta Gorda. It's a kids event that's happening, and that's at the Punta Gorda area there, right there at the marina down there by the bridge. Also on the 7th, we have the 22nd Annual Pine Island Elementary Fishing Tournament in Derby. That's a little bit of a fundraiser for the elementary schools. That's happening at the Matt Lachey area. That's an annual event that's been going on 22 years, so that's a long, long-standing event. So
yep.
All the teachers put a lot of effort into putting that together. There's a great group of people that get that happening. Also, another laid-back, easygoing tournament, fun event to get involved with. And then on the 13th, we have the Calusa Blue Way Kayak Fishing Tournament, and that's also happening out of Matt Lachey. That's also a great event. If you're a kayaker, there's a lot more tournaments starting to happen for kayaks, and this is just one of them. So if you're a kayak fisherman, get involved in that.
Definitely. It was great having the guys in the studio last weekend.
It was Brian.
Brian from Gulf Coast Kayak talking about that tournament that's coming up. So that'll be great to hear. Hopefully we'll hear some follow-ups and some reports after that.
See, give him a call and see what's happening there.
Yep.
And then last but not least, on the 20th, we've got Nautical Miles got an expo happening in Cape Coral. I believe that's happening in the German American Club there on Pine Island Road. So there'll be some seminars there. some people speaking, and lots of nautical events going on with that. So check that out. A little bit further north from us, down here in Fort Myers, up in the Tampa Bay area, up near Crystal River and stuff like that, we've got on the 23rd, next Saturday, we've got Hook a Snook. I've already done that one. That's Inglewood. We've got the third annual Tampa South Charity Fishing Tournament, and that's happening in Tampa. And down in the Keys, we've got a couple of things going on. We've got Betty Bowman's doing her event down there this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, we'll maybe talk to her maybe next week, see how that went for her.
Yeah, usually she sends in some pictures of the ladies and their catches.
Yep,
she so always look forward to that.
Puts on a great event, great ladies' informational seminars and fishing tournament. And the 29th of this month in October, we've got the Fall Backcountry Fly Championship Series, and that's happening in Alamorada. So that's about all we've got. Like I say, things are going to start to slow down just a little bit as far as the tournament schedules go. A lot of these tournaments is starting to wind down, particularly the Redfish Tours. Their championships have pretty much already been done, and there'll be a few more local tournaments popping up here and there. But we'll start to pick up again in the springtime on some of these tournaments.
Yep, definitely.
So if you're looking for information, go to fish-florida.com. We try to keep all the tournaments posted and events. If you've got something that you'd like to see up there that's not up there, my contact information's up there. You can just give me a call or you can shoot me an email. I'd be glad to put this up. This is a free service that we do, promote all these tournaments events all over the state of Florida. Sometimes it's a little bit tough to find where all the events are happening, so anybody that can help, that'd be great.
Yeah, it's also a good resource for folks who are planning tournaments and events because they can see what other events and tournaments are coming up on the same weekends that they might be thinking of planning a tournament and event. So it's nice not to have a lot of overlap.
Yeah, a lot
so
of
So there's more
with
opportunities. Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yep. So got a few texts coming in from the text line this morning. Text line is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. So go ahead, send us a text. Let us know what you've been out there catching over the past week. I know the fishing's been good. And we got a text actually coming in from Gabe Kaplan's agent. He says, the grandkids have been fishing the 10-mile canal in Fort Myers. They found a couple of decent spots, just not sure what exactly they're catching. I think they're tilapia. They seem to be good size between 2 and 7 pounds.
Wow.
They want to eat them. The water seems fairly clean. Are they safe? Yeah, so the kids are probably catching, I'm guessing, tilapia and Mayan cichlids up in the 10-mile canal. And, I think moderation is the key word here. A lot of these canal systems, there is a lot of runoff, fertilizers and pesticides. So I would just say, probably eating one or two is fine. One or two, every couple of weeks or a month, but I would really, pay close attention to where you're catching those fish and the water quality. Personally, if you're out in the middle of the Everglades somewhere, it's probably safer than when you're fishing some of these freshwater canals in the urban areas, just because of the fact, like I said, there is a lot of runoff and you just want to be mindful of that. So then we did get a text from our friend Crazy Alberto Knee. He said, great topics and great tips. Can't stress enough on the three P's: preparation, plan, and presentation, which equals success. Side note, pay attention to the changing conditions and log everything for future reference. Those are really good suggestions from our friend Crazy Alberto, who, by the way, will be in the studio with our friend Joe Mahler on Saturday, November 13th.
We may need to extend the show to 4 hours that day.
I know.
To get all that craziness in.
That's going to be a great show. And
look,
I think we're gonna do something we haven't done before. We're probably going to close the phone lines for the first hour of the show just to make sure we get everything in. Yes. So that'll be definitely, mark your calendars for that. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Be a great show.
For sure. So, Steve, one other thing I wanted to talk about a little bit is etiquette. And I know you've done a few seminars in this, haven't you? A few
Yeah.
presentations. So when it comes to tournament etiquette, fishing etiquette, boating etiquette when you're out there on the water. Obviously, there's things that we all need to be aware of. And the golden rule is key. Treat others as you would want to be treated. But there are also a few things we should always be mindful of, especially given the fact that now our population is basically going to triple in the months coming up. So what are a few key tips that you have, Steve, for etiquette and just being mindful of your fellow boaters and anglers when you're out there on the water?
Well, as everybody knows, Southwest Florida is a huge growing area, as well as a lot of Florida. And we've got some of the best fishing. I mean, I've traveled all over the state and even all over the Gulf Coast, all the way to Louisiana. And we've got some of the best fishing around here. And it's just absolutely been fantastic. But a lot of the people are newcomers. And it's not that they're necessarily trying to be disrespectful or not thinking what they're doing. They're just not educated. So it's good to try to help teach people, especially the people that have been here for a while, people that fish a lot. And these are things that you can learn doing some of these events and tournament fishing and stuff like that. Learn how to treat other people out on the water. A lot of people just don't know. And we talk a lot about this in the store. A lot of times it layers when we've got a lot of new people coming in, just starting to fish this area. When you're running your boats, particularly on the grass flats and the flat areas, make sure that boat is designed to be doing that. Number one is we don't want to be tearing up the environment out there. That may sound a little bit cliche, but so many, if you ever fly over the Sound area and things like that, you'll see so many prop scars in the bottom tore up from people running boats that are not designed to be in these flats, okay? So there are boats that are specifically designed with jack plates that have a higher engine level where they can run through these flats without tearing up the grass and tearing up the oyster beds and tearing up your boat.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing I see is a lot of people trying to take boats back in these areas that don't belong back there. So know your waterways. If you're not familiar with the waterways, there's a lot of captains that you can hire that will help educate you on where you can go with your particular boat and where it can run and where it's designed to be. So that's number one with me is not tearing up the environment out there, because that's why we have a great fishery. It's because of these grass flats. They produce a lot of crustaceans and things that these fish feed on. They thrive on that. And
such important habitat.
It's so important to keep that habitat together. And if we don't do that, what's going to happen is the state or federal government's going to step in and they're going to start blocking these areas off to people and they won't be able to use it. Okay. And that's happened in other areas of the state. So don't think it can't happen, because it will. So respect the environment. Make sure you know what you're doing. If you're off a plane, make sure you're not digging up the bottom. Make sure that engine's trimmed up or that jack plate is up so that you're not digging up the bottom. When you are on idle and you're going around, fishing, looking for spots, it's not uncommon to come around a corner and all of a sudden you see somebody fishing. Sometimes what I'll do is just shut the engine off right there, go back onto my trolling motor, and very quietly try to troll around them. And people are used to that. That's the common thing. You know, you want to try to be as least disruptive as you can to the people, give them their space. Typically in a tournament, we typically try to do 100 yards minimum. And we do what we call where the boat is actually anchored, whether it be a power pole or an anchor, and what we call the trolling motor stowed. So where you're actually set. Now, if you're trolling along a shoreline, typically our distance is unlimited. I mean, you can get as close as you want. But etiquette-wise, we typically stay at least 100 yards from people and give them space. And we try to look at what direction they're working. If they're going down one direction of a shoreline, we either go way, way up in front of them or go behind them and go back the other way. So give them some respect, give them some space. And that's true with anybody fishing. Like I talked about a little bit earlier, people like to see somebody fishing. They want to mark their holes. You know, that's usually doesn't work out very well because, like I say, tides and conditions are everything when you're fishing a particular hole. So, you know, going around picking up different people's spots, it doesn't work very well. It's not very efficient. But also, you know, when you're out there, try to be on your trolling motor as much as you can when you're close to people. If you are on plane and you happen to be coming by sometimes, I'll actually bring the boat down off a plane and try to idle by them, you know, get another couple of hundred yards pass and then jump back up on plane, just so that I'm not waking them or, you know, throwing a big wake at their boat and things like that. But my big thing is the environment out there. You know, I'm involved greatly with CCA. CCA has been in a huge part of restocking here in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We've restocked Absolutely. Thousands and thousands of redfish. We've restocked snook. We do a lot of work with the habitat, and it is much more fragile than people realize. And we want to keep this fishery good for the kids coming up. So, you know, respect those flats out there. Know where you're going. Don't just go buy a boat and just go running anywhere, because there's a lot of areas that those boats don't belong. So know where your boat can be and where it can run.
Yeah, some really great points, Steve. And I think, too, you know, just the whole leave no trace and picking up any trash you see when you're out there and making sure that you keep your trash secured on your boat. I know a lot of times it's not like people are intentionally throwing things overboard, but the point is a lot of times people, they've got, you know, Publix grocery bag that had their lunch in it or whatever, and then they go to take off, and of course that bag ends up in the water. You know, make sure everything is secured, put things in your hatches, make sure you've got a designated area on your boat for your trash so everybody knows where that is. And then if you see something when you're out there, pick it up.
Stop and pick it up. Exactly.
Pick it up. It's going to take you, you know, not even a minute. And it's helping to keep our waterways clean for sure.
Yep.
So, all right. I know we're a few minutes behind, Rick, but let's do it.
I've grown tired of you. What's wrong with you? You are useless.
Useless.
I hope our friend Gator Tom's okay. He usually gives us a countdown.
I know. Usually
to
he
when it's
is
time to start,
right but on top of it.
Right now, from the world's ultimate book of useless information, here's your host and mine, Captain Debbie Hansen, with useless information. You ready, Steve?
Ready? Let's do it.
He's ready.
He's fired up.
He was just taking a sip of coffee to make sure.
That's why
he caught me off guard there.
Extra
Rick.
On point here.
I like to do that to people, Steve.
This is the Lost in Space edition of Useless Information. Ooh. And we're going to kick things off with the strongest surface winds in the solar system are found on the planet Neptune, where they have been measured at 1,500 miles per hour.
Wow.
Well, that blows.
Wow.
Guess we should think about that when we complain about, you know, the wind being 15 to 20 when we're out there fishing, right?
Yep. That would be bad fishing weather, yes.
Exactly. And then number two, each year, the moon's orbit moves about 1.5 inches farther away from the Earth.
Really?
That's amazing they can even
Every
measure
year,
that.
Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, how do they measure that?
So
I
at some
know
point
that.
In the future, will the moon, I mean, obviously 100, maybe thousands of years, the moon will look further away?
Yeah.
Well, an inch.
That's got to affect the tides, too.
Exactly. How is that going to play into our fishing? That's what I want to know.
We're teetering dangerously close here to useful information.
Okay. All right.
Get us on track.
Well, this one I think is pretty useless. So, last but not least, Venus is the only planet that rotates around the sun in a clockwise pathway. All other planets, when observed from the North Pole, are seen to be rotating around the sun in an anti-clockwise, well, wouldn't that be counterclockwise?
Yeah.
Anti-clockwise direction on their elliptical orbits. So there you go. Venus bucking the trend of all other planets.
That's pretty useless.
So remember those globe toys we used to have with the little planets on the wires that you would spin around the globe?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to completely rethink how I played with that.
Right. Do they still make those?
I hope
so. They have to, right?
Well, you know, what do kids need those things for when they can just, you know, go on the
internet? Go on the internet these days, right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I'm still just completely, literally blown away by 1,500 mile an hour winds.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Don't want to be on
maybe
Neptune.
That would be good for fishing because, you know, you would never have to leave your house. You just throw your lure out. It would probably carry all the way to the water, right?
Just got to make sure you get the wind in the right direction.
That's right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's for sure. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. Oh, gosh. So, Steve, do you have a, your boat? You have a name of your boat, right?
Yeah.
What's your boat's name?
Real Happy.
Real Happy.
Yep, yep.
All right.
It's been that for quite a while. I had a boat previous to that. It was a flat skiff, and it was Flat Happy.
So you went from Flat Happy to Real Happy.
Flat Happy to Real Happy. And, you know, I went from a flat skiff, and I love that boat. It was great to fish off of. Unfortunately, where I live is upriver a little bit. So going out in the mornings, it was real easy to go out, real smooth. But coming back with the boat traffic and everything, it got a little bit too much of a beating. So I went to a bay boat, and that was the best thing that I ever did. So it's been a great transition to the bay boat. And, you know, bay boats are a very popular boat these days. They're very versatile. They get into some pretty skinny water. They ride a little bit better than a lot of the typical flats boats. So they've been very popular with a lot of the fishermen. And you see a lot of them at the tournaments. And
I was going to say, so what features about that bay boat do you like specifically for the type of tournament fishing that you do?
Well, I like the deck setup on the particular boat that I have. It's actually a Century 2202. They don't make that model anymore. But it had a solid flat upper deck. And then the back deck was also solid. It had no transom hole, which a lot of them do, where the motor would come up and trim down into. So when you're in the back, it's actually completely flat across that back deck. And you didn't have to worry about stepping down into that hole, which a lot of people have done in a lot of the boats, and, you know, twisting an ankle or something like that. So it's been very, very good. The gunnels on that particular boat that I have are flat. I particularly have a T-top on it with a handrail along it. So mm-hmm. when I am throwing a cast net off the bow, I can throw the cast net off the bow. I can walk along the gunnel very easily because it's a wide, flat gunnel, and get the net back to the boat. Now, this particular boat's an 8'6" wide boat, which is a little bit wider than most boats. Most boats are typically 8 feet. That extra 6 inches seems to make it ride a lot better, makes that gunnel a lot better, but I love the versatility of it. It's easier to tow. It rides very well. I can run it offshore, you know, 20-ish miles maybe. I don't go much further than that. But it all around, it's a great versatile boat. You can also take people on it to where sometimes a flat skiff's a little bit harder if you've got friends and family that you want to take out on it. So that's a big reason why the bay boats, I think, have become so popular.
Yeah. It was interesting getting back to the whole naming of the boat, like legend and lore. I didn't realize until I started doing some research, it's actually bad luck if you rename your boat.
Right.
So there is a whole like boat renaming ceremony that technically you're supposed to go through if you decide to change the name of your boat. So the name of your boat is very important. You want to choose a good one the first time around. Make it simple, something timeless and easy to remember. So I thought that was interesting. But anyways, all right, we need to head off to another break. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
Well, I come from a little bitty homegrown small town. Smoky Mountains, nice place to hang around. Moonshine, that's where they make it. Put it in a jug, make you want to get naked.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
It ain't no joke. I like to buy the world a token. Teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. And teach the world to snuff the fires.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Steve Johnson of Fish-Florida.
We are in our last half hour.
I know. Can you believe it?
Awesome.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy how fast time goes by.
We need to make the show longer, I think.
Telling you what. We got a text from Rock'em Sock'em Robots about useless information. He said that Neptune sounds like a good planet for windsurfing. It does, right?
Yeah, you might want to wear a hazmat suit or something.
that's the only thing. That's the only thing about that. All right, and we have Captain Greg Stamper standing by on line one. So we're going to head on over to line one and grab his call. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Good morning, Captain Deb. Good morning, Captain Steve. How are you doing this morning?
Awesome, Greg. How are you?
Doing great. I just blacked out both my wells, so life's good.
All right.
Nice. That's always a plus.
Yeah, there's tons of bait out there on our beaches. If you can't get bait right now, then don't know what to tell you. I even watched some kids with a little, probably a 4-foot net, give themselves 100. So it's pretty easy pickings right now if you're out there doing the live bait thing.
You getting them out off the beach?
Yeah, they're pretty much all the way down the beaches. You don't necessarily have to be looking for the birds diving because there's just so much bait. Those birds are getting full pretty quick. They're like all laying on the beach with, full bellies. Looks like Thanksgiving just rolled through. But cool. There's tons of them there. You can see them flickering around and jumping, and they're all big. The ones I got are probably all 3 and 4 inches. They're big, big white baits. So the good stuff, the stuff that you like to have.
Yeah, definitely. So, Greg, give us a scoop of what's been going on over the past week. I know the redfish
have been really fire. Really good, yeah.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of different opportunities for a lot of different types of fish. With all that bait on the beach, obviously the snook are still piled up on our beaches. And that's not going to change until that bait decides to do something different. The guys who have been taking the big white baits and even fishing some of our nearshore wrecks and reefs, they're really getting some nice snook out there. We're talking about those upper slot and over slot size snook. And they're also catching a few small ones, which tells you, there's a lot of them out there moseying around, and they're pretty comfortable where they are right now. The water temperature's still real hot, so that's not going to change much. This next front, I don't think, is going to do much at all as far as changing that pattern up in any way, shape, or form. And as long as that bait, like I said, is on the beach, those fish aren't going anywhere. And in the back, it's been all about redfish. Early in the morning, we'll get them in the schools, and then they start to just kind of move around and get broken up. But you'll still find them along the oyster bars and along some of those mangrove shorelines. There's pretty much, you can find good points that you can line up current and wind with roughly in the same direction. You're probably going to be able to pluck one or two and then move on. These fish are big, so they're all in that upper slot, over slot. Although this week, gratefully, I did catch 3 rat reds. So we're starting to see a few rat reds show up, which is a real positive because we hadn't seen those in a long time. And the other guys have also been catching a few here and there.
That is good to hear.
I tell you, when I fish those points, though, as kind of a thing that I've realized over time, is when you hook a real big redfish and he's underneath those bushes and he's going to try and bulldog you and stay in there, he's probably going to push everything that's in there out. So once you get one of those big fish that goes crazy, it's probably best just to move on to your next point or your next spot, because the chances of there being more in there after he's been going crazy and he's stirred everything up isn't real good. Now, you could come back to that spot maybe in an hour and they might settle back down, but in general, can't pull more than one or two off of a point. They just kind of blow themselves out.
Got it. Well, thanks for the update, Greg.
I'm thinking what else? There's been tarpon everywhere, off the beaches and in the back bays. And, of course, the trout bite's good. So fishing is great overall.
Yeah, and any word on any triple tail? That'll probably be coming up more so in the next couple of weeks once the crab traps are out there now. And
a few guys have gone out there and just played. Of course, you do need to let those traps soak for a bit and get kind of algae'd up and barnacled up a little bit. That's kind of a key to get more bait on them. And that's what those triple tail really like, those messy ones. That'll probably be another month before we really start to go out there and actively do it on a regular basis. Most of the time in our neck of the woods off of Fort Myers Beach, we don't get a lot of traps until the winter is in here, like January. Mm-hmm. So you got to either go up to Sanibel Captiva or head down south and towards the Naples area in that ballpark, then you'll get on some good trap lines. But of course, once everybody's out there and they know they're there, everybody's doing it. So you kind of have to get a little bit lucky these days and get that one trap line that maybe nobody's gotten on yet, and you might be able to pluck yourself a big boy.
Yep. Well, and that is exciting because there's nothing better on the dinner table And there is this one of the most exciting fish, I think, to catch here in our nearshore waters. There's so much fun
for clients. It's always a good client fish because it's so visual. The important thing is you got to let them know that, you know, even though we're running at 20, 30 miles an hour and we're not actually fishing, we are fishing. It's just more of a hunting type of game.
Yep, definitely. You're looking for those fish off those crab trap buoys, and then you're sight casting to them in a lot of cases, which is so fun.
Yes.
All right.
So that's what's going on, you guys.
Well, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Hey, Greg, I got a quick question for you. You know a gentleman by the name of Jack Nelson?
Yes, I do.
Okay. From Pure Fishing?
I recognize that name, too.
Absolutely. I fish with Jack and his wife quite often when they come down. Obviously, this last year kind of was a wrench in the whole gig, but I'm very good friends with Jack. I used to run around with him on his skeeter and bitch at him because his live well sucks so bad.
Yeah. Debbie had mentioned Leroy Selmans, and as soon as she said that, I knew because Jack was always talking about you at the restaurant there.
Yeah. Him and I have caught quite a few fish together. I got some good stories, though. Yep. I can't tell them on air.
Yep, that's cool.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks so much for calling in and for the report. We appreciate it.
And for breakfast.
And for breakfast. We can't forget that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Greg, what's that bread? What's that bread called again?
That's made by a company called Cristal. It's a very airy, light bread. They make rolls, and they make something that's similar to a bagel. I just like it because it's so airy. And it's not like a real filling bread. It's just it's just got a nice flavor to it, a nice texture.
I said it was kind of a combination of a bagel and a buttermilk biscuit.
Yeah.
They're good.
Great stuff.
Right,
thank you.
Lines, everybody.
All right, Greg, take care.
See you, Greg.
Bye-bye. That is Captain Greg Stamper calling in with Snook Stamp Charters.
Hey, Captain Deb, if I may real quick, too, Jabba the Butt, our friend, is poking the bear again. I'm going to answer your question, Jabba, with repeating the first five words you said to us. This is a fishing show.
Yeah, and you know what? I am happy to respond to this. So he's got a question about Captains for Clean Water and people in the studio supporting Captains for Clean Water. Here's the thing. We have a number of conservation organizations out there that are always actively working to protect our ecosystems and our environment here in Southwest Florida, which is so important to our quality of life, our careers, and the future of our industry. And there's a lot of armchair quarterbacks that want to criticize. There are a lot of positive things that are being done behind the scenes that many people are never made aware of on social media. So if somebody is looking at a social media profile for one of these, you know, conservation organizations and making judgments, please know that there is so much more going on behind the scenes than meets the eye.
Right. It's like anything else political, Jabba. Come on, man. There's a two sides to every story. There's a difference of opinions, and we don't really want to go down your path.
The representatives of these organizations are going up to D.C. They're meeting with legislators. They're meeting with legislators here in the state of Florida. So there is a lot to it. And I am extremely grateful for anyone who is out there advocating for the protection of our ecosystems and our environment here in Florida, and I will leave it at that.
Okay, now also during the break, we got a call from a fellow named Richard who just wanted me to ask if you guys could clarify, and this is a little, you know, maybe a little confusing, but on like what are the regulations and the dates and all that for red grouper, triggerfish, and lane snapper?
Yeah, so lane snapper are closed effective Monday. In federal waters, red grouper are also closed to harvest. In federal and state waters, and gray triggerfish are also closed. So mangrove snapper is open. And in federal waters for hire vessels, red snapper is also open through, I believe it is, the first week of November. I'll have to double check on that. But yeah, so that is the scoop on lane snapper, red grouper, and triggerfish. What I would recommend to folks is download the Fish Rules app. that app is phenomenal. There's a lot of changes that go on with all the different offshore species and the regulations. So if you download that app, it's going to give you the latest, most up-to-date information on those regulations based on your GPS coordinates. You use the Fish Rules app, Steve, don't you?
I use it exclusively. It's the only way to go. I mean, we used to, at Lear's, we used to have printouts that we used to be able to give things that FWC would give us, books and stuff like that. We don't even do that anymore because the stuff changes so fast, so often.
Yep, it does, for sure. So it's a great resource to have, for sure. So, Steve, I know you do a lot of work with CCA, and you're the local membership chair. So is there anything coming up in the next couple of months as far as CCA events and... anything
we'll
that they're
have
working
our,
on here locally?
Our local CCA banquet coming up in March, the 1st of March. So if anybody's interested in getting involved in that, we're always interested in having people on the board. That we have a committee board that puts that together. We're going to strive for probably about 750 people this year. We had about 650 last year. We have had as many as close to a little over 700 before. We are back downtown now at the Calusa Sound place that used to be Harborside downtown. It's a great event center. We've done very well there. You know, nobody likes to get into politics. That's not what we do here. But some of these associations and groups like Captains for Clean Water, CCA, there's several of them. They're a necessary factor to help get some of these things done here in Florida and help protect this stuff. So support the groups, even though you may not like some of the things they do, they are the driving force in a lot of these events that are happening as far as keeping this water clean and keeping the fisheries open for people to use every weekend out there.
Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. Yeah, so CC got some things coming up. I know CCA that you've been involved in for how many years since?
Long time. It's been 10 or 15 years. I know Dave Westra, he's been involved since the start. He's now I'm kind of winging and taking his place a little bit as far as the committee goes and the memberships and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's a great organization. I like being involved with them. They do a tremendous amount of restocking, which is one of their biggest things. They do a lot of artificial reef projects, both here on this coast and on the East Coast. So there's a lot going on. So it's a great organization to be involved with.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Well, it is that time. We got to head off to another break. You are listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app. We'll be back after these messages.
Davy Crockett had a pint in his pocket, good whiskey at the Alamo. Now I bet Pancho Villa had a jug of tequila when he walked the streets of old Mexico.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk Radio. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with guest co-host Captain Steve Johnson with fish-florida.com.
Hello, hello. We're in our last few minutes.
I know. The last 10 minutes of the show. Can you believe it?
Gone crazy.
I know. It always goes by so crazy fast. How can it not, though, when you're talking about fishing?
Yep, we could talk for hours.
I know it. And we actually have Captain John Fetter standing by on line one. So I'm going to go ahead and grab his call and get the update from Captain John. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
We're doing great. And how are you?
Good, good.
Good. What's
good week. Good week this week.
Yeah, give us the scoop. So fill us in.
Yeah, we had a really good week this week. The snook fishing has just been crazy, crazy good in the Estero Bay. You know, still plenty of bait on the beach. You know, one throw and done, which is the way I like it out there. getting bait and just, you know, live bait under a cork around the oyster bars and the mangroves on higher water. Just been producing snook like crazy. We've been getting some really good slot size snooks, some upper slots, and a lot of smaller ones.
That's good. So that's really great good to hear.
Have you been fishing them out on the beach at all?
No, I haven't been fishing them on the beach. You know, they seem to not really eat much on the beach. I don't know if it's because of all the plentiful bait that's out there or what, but I have better fishing them in the back than I do that off the beach.
Cool.
Yeah, John, so, and you've still been seeing quite a few trout in the backcountry,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, been catching a lot of trout, but yep. The highlight of my week was we got almost a dozen rat reds this week.
So, yeah, Greg just mentioned that. That's exciting. That's good news.
I was super excited. I mean, I was almost more excited than catching those than I was anything else.
Yeah,
so I was like, oh, great, there's another little red. My people are like, what, a little one? You know, but, you know, since we haven't been seeing them, you know, it's pretty exciting. And I know Greg had caught a couple this week, too. And, you know, we were talking about the other day how nice it was to finally see some of them show up.
Yeah, definitely. It means good things for the future of the fishery. So it's nice to see those guys, those smaller rat reds, for sure. So you've been primarily just using shrimp then, John?
I'm sorry.
I said you've been primarily just using shrimp?
No, I've been using just all that white bait on the beach. You know, for trout fishing, I've been using the shrimp under a popping cork over the grass, you know, about 3 to 4 feet of water near the passes,
mm-hmm.
near some deeper water, and that's been doing pretty well. But mostly it's just been, you know, live bait, you know, for the snook and the reds, and they've been eating it, so.
What about the Spanish mackerel? Have you seen any Spanish mackerel out near the passes?
I have not, you know, and I fished the pass pretty good three times this week, and, you know, I haven't been able to get one. A lot of ladyfish, you know, so if you want to stock your freezer on ladyfish for next season, now's the time to do it.
There you go. Well, great. Awesome. So, thank you for calling in, and thanks for the update. We certainly appreciate that. So, yeah, hopefully it's going to be a great weekend weather-wise. So hopefully folks will be getting out there and taking advantage of it. Lots of bait around. Fishing's been good and good weather. So,
yes, now is definitely a good time to get out and bend around and have fun. Cooling off a little bit, and it's just getting that much better.
Yep. Absolutely. That water temperature is coming down a few degrees, and those fish are really, really actively feeding, which is awesome, awesome.
Definitely going to make them feed even more. We get a little bit more cooler weather, it's going to really turn them on, I think.
Yep. Well, John, you have a great rest of the weekend. Thanks again for calling in, and we will catch up with you next Saturday morning.
You're welcome. All right. Have a great weekend and a great week.
You too, John. Take care.
See you, John.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
That is Captain John Fetter with Catching the Cure Charters out of Fishtail Marina.
That's where Greg runs out of, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Cool. That is absolutely where he runs out of.
And Jabba the Butt, we love you, man. You are legend on this radio station. Please, come on now. Don't turn this into a thing. We did not mean to insult you personally in any way.
We did not. We were speaking in general terms.
And please, man, come on. Just, you know. We love you, buddy.
Everybody's got their own personal opinions on different matters.
Don't turn this into a personal thing, please.
Nope. Everybody's got their own personal opinions, and that's just the way it is. So yeah, Steve, you've got any events coming up in the near future?
No
tournaments. Just going to get out there and do some fun fishing.
Just going to do some fun fishing. Most of the tournaments are over. Probably fish the Coast Guard tournament at the end of this month. That's always a great fun tournament, easy going, pretty economical tournament. So check that out and get involved in that. So that's about the only thing I've got other than we're going to go out and have some fun, get some bait on the beach there. And sounds like John said it was pretty thick. And even Greg was saying it's pretty good out there. So it's nice when you can throw a net out there and get a couple throws, load the wells, and keep the boat clean.
Yeah, you're going to get out there tomorrow and do a little bit of fun fishing?
Probably will. Yep. I got to check the prop today. I think I got a little bit of line still wrapped up in there. I want to make sure I got all that out of there and get the boat set up this afternoon and probably go out tomorrow.
Nice. Awesome stuff. Well, yes, and I am definitely anxious to get back out there on the freshwater side after the past week of being up north. And it was really warm up in Chicago, though. First day I got in, it was like 80 degrees. And then, of course, the rain came through and the temperature dropped a little bit. But it's always good to come back home to sunny Florida,
yep,
especially this time of year. So looking forward to getting back out there this week.
Great time to be fishing. Take a kid fishing.
Absolutely. It's that time again. We got to go. Thank you, Rick Church, the director of the show, for pressing the buttons and screening the calls. Thank you, Steve, for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Remember to share your experiences, share your stories, and get someone new out on the water. Tight lines, everybody. We'll be back next Saturday, same place, same time. Have a great weekend.
It's been a lovely cruise. I'm sorry it's ending.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.